You're live.
Okay.
Now, let me make sure the numbers count. They are counting.
Okay. Well, welcome. I will, I know we've got the lunch crowd coming, but I'm going to go ahead and get started to honor the time. And I will ask, as we've talked, and those who are on CD, let me go ahead and give you my contact information. My name first is Roger Acton, and I'm going to give it to you too, who are listening here. I just feel like I'm in this mixed world moment. But here's the contact information for Beyond This Talk. First off, it's R-O-G-E-R, and then last name A-C-T-O-N. Phone number is 803-765-0035, extension 4622. And then for email, it's the first and last name, Roger Acton, at scbaptist.org. scbaptist.org. And for the information that's right now going to be worked on, this survey has, that I can put in your shares, this has been a kind of a culmination since, I guess, when the new millennium came in and everyone thought the world was going to be destroyed by computers. Well, actually, it's a slower death, but it's happening in some ways. But there's a reality of also the amazing opportunities we have with computers and the way we can be connected and be connected to our information. But in the process of that, I started realizing maybe we needed to start to work towards how a church would connect with this issue of the internet. Are we using it? And back in then, the www. Things were just kind of starting to be thought of. I'm trying to remember which Super Bowl it was, but I remember being almost annoyed by the www.nike, whatever it was. I mean, that was now the new emblem that would show up on the pages. I'm not glad to shut it. Let them have that uncomfortable moment opening the door versus me, the uncomfortable moment of them talking.
No, we can't control the
temperature. Is this now cold? Yes.
That's fine.
Trust me. No. But today though, it's been warm, cold. So with all of us, we'll just breathe real heavy and we'll be good. So, but to get to the thought here, this issue of internet safety, I felt like the churches were starting to get into internet, the use of it, putting their pages up. They're encouraging their members to you know, have Sunday school web pages, be involved with the internet, I think companies at that time were trying to make the interaction of, I don't know if you heard this phrase, that their bricks would be the same encounter on the clicks. So if you went to Home Depot in person and you went to Home Depot online, you'd see colors that were similar. You'd kind of get a feel that you were not like in something new. And so the same kind of thought was, you know, now churches. Of course, churches have struggled because you might go to some sites, not y'all's, and find still the Christmas program being promoted that you should go to next month. So the timeline has been a tough part for them. The keeping current, keeping helpful, moving past just a brochure online. But in the other side of this coin of my searching and understanding the internet, I started hearing about internet dating, online dating. It was the big thing. And this new revolution of connection beyond, if you did those, I'm sure no one in this room did it, but the videos that you might have taped and paid for, and then you get to have people look at your video, and then they come in and say, I'd like to meet you, and then you come in and meet their video. And well, now you get to do this online. And so we started doing some research on that. Then as I got into the internet dating issues and tried to help some churches on that, started finding out that internet dating was opening up doors for online affairs. Married people thought internet dating was cool because they could actually keep it online and not break in an actual real-time relationship, and they could flirt online. Now, unfortunately, because of their human nature, it stayed online to somewhat, but sometimes it would move towards real-time. The hardest part, though, for a lot of folks going into that online affair issue was, compared to, and none of it is good, and none of it's easy to manage, but now, say the spouse, husband or wife, who had their spouse online dating and trying to have affairs online, had a hard time even knowing who these people were, because they really were not connected. They could be someone that, say, if he or she traveled, when they went to that town, out of town for their work, would always get to connect with, and they'd never really know about it. Until, of course, emails, you know, cell phone messages, whatever, a mistake was made, and so the information would be found. The other thing I found out when I started now looking into that issue was that there was online pornography. And that used to be, I don't know, I'll do the confession perspective of life. Let's see, I was a Cub Scout at my den mother's house, and we were working in their garage on a project, and she'd gone inside, and we needed something, and so we went over to the side of the garage, and there was this area that was all covered up, and we thought maybe what we needed, and seriously, what we were going to find was over there, so we pulled back this tarp, and there was a huge stack of magazines of inappropriate images. And I think we're 9, and 9-year-olds don't just cover things up like that. We got into it. Forgive me. And I remember being so scared. It only happened once. Of course, we all covered everything back up, put it back where it was when we were done. She never knew. I've said this on audio before, so I don't mind being this out there, because one day I need to say something. But my parents don't even know. And it was one of those things that so scared me. Just minutes of looking at that it just, it blew my mind. Well, now these children, when they're going online, and don't know if you know this, do you know how young are children that are going to be online now today? How young?
13, 14.
No, elementary.
Really?
Guess what? Kindergarten has a computer class. Kindergarten has once a week computer class. Now we're talking basic use of a mouse, key usage. But of course, kindergarten doesn't know. Sounds like a great language issue. Isn't aware of alphabet, of words. So it's just basic imaging type things. But they're getting in there. And if they're half as smart as a lot of these little kindergartners are, and they have a sibling who's older, and sibling opens up the windows of the internet for them and lets them go in, and they tell their older brother or sister, I want to go to Build-A-Bear.com and work on my Build-A-Bear. Well, I don't know if you know this, but Build-A-Bear now has a social network. I'm sorry, just kind of weird, funny. The concept of little people who own little bears all get together and talk about these things, and they have. Have you all seen any social network site? Any social network site? Do you know what I mean when I say that definition? Social network would be a MySpace. Social network would be Facebook. It also can be the ones like what the Build-A-Bear is. You go into this site, and I'm sorry, I'm having trouble getting to the internet, so I'll just tell you, but you can look these up. Build-A-Bear site has a site where you see an image of a little village, kind of a cartoonish little image, and you see, like, my daughter in a cartoon version moving through this little area and then stopping, and then she can direct what is said and done. She can have a set of words that she uses, or she can go to open chat and interact in this little kind of village look. And the only way that you, the way you get signed up is you basically put in your name information, and then you give your parents' email. Then they send the verification of you getting into that site through that email. But do you think an adult could do that? Could an adult get in that site? I mean, all you have to do is have another email site. I have one of my bonus comments. I'll go ahead and start telling some of the bonus comments. I have a trash email. Because I get so much stuff that I want to look at, but I don't want it to actually go into my other emails, my work email or my home email, that I have a trash email. And it's for those places when you want to get some information, but you don't want them to keep bothering you. So you look at it maybe once every month or so, and you have to do usually a major dump of the emails. You're like, oh my gosh, look at that, whatever magazine I thought, check it out once. Well, now they're just sending me everything, because of course they have friends, and they have friends, and they have friends. So I have a trash email. So all you have to do is set up a trash email account, but this time you're going to look at it, because you want to get that address to that website to be able to go into that area of social network. And all of a sudden you're in cartoon, a little kid, though the kids think that you're a little kid because their mindset says nobody would ever come after me in this world. And mommy wouldn't be upset with me talking to other kids in this world. And if mommy and daddy don't understand the system, they think it is okay, that their child is safe. And so mommy and daddy literally are standing around the area while a little child is talking to someone, and that other child decides to use the open chat and says stuff that they never could even imagine. Ask some things about themselves even. Starts probing very sweetly, but acts like another little girl saying, where do you go to school? What do you like to do? Do you ever go to the park? and gets them to ultimately tell where they live. Sometimes these children will literally put their phone numbers down. We'll literally give their addresses because mommy and daddy's trying to get children as young as kindergarten to memorize phone numbers and addresses so in case something happens. Well, they know that information, so they think that this little child should know it because then one day Mary and I can get together. Yeah, you just kind of cling to your children a little tighter after this moment. So yes, in this issue now, we have the internet issue has moved from the basic concerns of use of web into the kind of cool idea of meeting more people online to now find out that the people you meet online to date might be married. Then when you go online to meet some of these people, they may say, by the way, have you seen this site? You think, oh, it's kind of cool. That person would only recommend something good. Well, they send you a site that's this horrific pornography site. But you've never been there before, like me finding that pile of stuff. And you've always thought, you know, I wonder what this is like. So you take time to look at it. And a minute turns into an hour without hardly any time thought. I mean, it's amazing from what I hear from those that go into that struggle. I mean, you just start getting captured. And by the way, guess what happens? Let me ask you a question first before I ask them what happens. What's your favorite movie? Don't tell me, just think of it. Got your favorite movie? Okay. I want you to just run the favorite scene in the favorite movie in your mind. About 30 seconds of it. You got it? Enjoying it? Okay, now this is what happens. Regarding pornography, these men and women are not just going to any site randomly. They're going back to the same girl, same guy. By the way, this is equal opportunity. They're going back to the same place that they find benefits from. And they will watch the videos. They will look at the images over and over and over. And as quickly as you were able to put together that video and that favorite spot, it comes back into their mind even when they're sitting with you all. Even when they're in a non-computer world, they can click that on and go there. And what's sadder is when they move to the other side of wanting to get out of that, it clicks on at the most weak points they have. Whatever that, let's say, end of the day, away from everybody, trying to go to sleep, don't want to be in that thought, and bam, it just starts going. And if they're tired, lazy, frustrated, don't have any relationships in their lives, feel empty, feel inadequate, they'll enjoy that video. And they're not having to play anything, there's no one recording that they're doing this, and nobody knows but them. This is the nightmare. This is not that part that I bumped into. Oh, go ahead. That part that I bumped into again in this internet search blew my mind how pervasive it is. And I'm going to give you some information on that too. We're up against a situation where... Well, let's go ahead and show the one that... First one that I believe since I've been in the convention area in South Carolina had seen. But we had this article show up in the paper. Not only had he been involved with it in the sense of the online porn for just like, okay, somewhere out there, somebody might say, well, if they're just looking at images, it's not a bad thing. Because they've made their own choices. They're looking at a picture that someone else put out there, but that person put their own picture. They put their picture out because they want their picture out there. You know this comment? So they should have a freedom to be able to do that. That's, you know, we're Americans. We're free to do these things. This situation is not only the porn, but it's involving where he was sending messages and as he, I'll read the official word. Friends stand by a Camden minister who Georgia police say thought he was sending photos, messages to a 14-year-old girl. He was transmitting what he thought was a 14-year-old on the other side of an online encounter. Images, sexual images, to enhance her desire for him and to give her some kind of tease to be involved with him, possibly in a real-time scenario. But he was baiting her, tempting her, designing her, getting her to think like he thinks, and thought these images would help her. And of course, in the police world, this was a police officer sitting on the other end, and so it was worked with the thought that it was a 14-year-old, but then they arrested him. And this is not another one of those myths breaking. This is not a scuzzy looking individual. This is not a half-life who doesn't care what the world is about. This has been a pastor of a church, has a family, has the full capacity of community and making a difference in a community. But his human part of him, he decided to go after that part. And like I said in this last talk that I did on domestic violence, you and I have a boundary system that is probably completely different. I pray that it is. His boundary said this was okay because it's online. Now, you don't know if he would try to take it farther, but then we had, I don't have the article for it, but we had another situation not too long ago where a pastor was found to try to, he was talking what he thought, again, with another student up in Virginia area, and he was trying to get that person not only to learn about him, love him, and it was a boy, and also enjoy the images he was enjoying, but he actually asked that boy to come down and live with him, and that he would take care of him in South Carolina. And there's alleged elements in all these conversations, but that one was proven. This one's still in this process. But the issue is amazing to think that there's a thinking like that out there. But it is. And if you don't let yourself think that it can happen, well, it's a head in the sand moment. So all of a sudden, again, I've gone from this amazing concept of what we can have as an issue on the internet to, you know, that area. By the way, the one that's now the most devastating issue, not that these aren't, but this one now has hit the next level. The news has grabbed up. What is the biggest thing that the news has talked about online that's a devastation for internet safety issues? What is impacting parents right now for online...
MySpace?
No, even bigger than that. What the use of MySpace has provided. Predation. Predators, people who come online and use those social networks to get to know somebody so then they can go and find them. Let me go ahead and show you. Let me show you this. This is a PowerPoint that was put together by an organization called Enough is Enough. Enough is Enough. Donna Rice Hughes is the founder of it. Let me go ahead and open this up for you so you can see the whole thing here. If you want to help, and one of the things I'm going to give you in this packet I'm going to give out to you is an amazing, I guess you saw, non-exhaustive but yet very helpful set of people who are out there helping in this issue of internet safety. And Donna Rice Hughes has done amazing work on the ailment for the children. Let me go ahead and show you how this works on predation. And then this little tinier print, but the basic concept, this is the chat room area, and you've got a conversation going over here, and you've got the listing of the people over there. You have an identification of who he wants to make a target of for his conversation. And he's intrigued by a girl down at the bottom there named Amanda. And so he pulls up, that's her listing there. Now he's going to do a search. I'll just let you kind of read. I'll try not to read everything. Now, one of the things that I like to tell folks is, do you know if you have an online account, AOL, whatever it is, you put in your information when you first signed up for it, you put in your profile. Do you know that you can block the information on your profile so people can't see you? Now, some people say, well, I want to be known so when people find me on there, they can know that is Roger that I know. So, okay, put in South Carolina, Columbia. But don't let the information about your age, where you live, you know, actual address. Some people don't think about that. They just think, well, they don't think. So they've got that all out there. So enter that. At this point, he's been able to get this information about her. Of course, marital status. A child, by the way, in MySpace is asked about their preference for sexual orientation. I mean, there's things that are asked of them that are, I don't think our parents realize when they go through a profile. So here, you know, it gets into a couple things that she likes to do, what she, you know, name of her brother, and she's kind of, you know, lazy about it, but she notes that she is a student. Now here is, she's going to start by trying to get her email address. Like I said, emails can be disposable, but they can also open you up to some kind of connection. Here's some of the information he's gotten in 2 minutes. Whoops, wait, I'm going to show that. Go back. So he's got all that data on her just in 2 minutes of trying to find out something about this girl that he wants to check out. So he's going to do a search on her, some further searching, I guess you'd say. So this is some of the things that she's been involved with, the Beanie Babies, and she's got a search out here for trying to get more information for Beanie Babies. When she puts this information out, she's not even thinking about it. She's thinking when she's doing this, she's doing it in what, again, I call a safe environment. Other Beanie Baby people, no one would hurt her in their Beanie Baby world. But what she gives then is she gives her phone number. If you're willing to sell, and there it is, phone number, and exactly when she'll be home, so you can talk to either Amanda or Sue. So now we know when she's home. We're getting closer to even where she lives now, just by the information in there. By the way, the power is definitely in when you have a phone number. Have you ever done a search on somebody when you got a phone number? I mean, you did it for hopefully a good reason, unless you're trying to collect a bill. But the number, again, what I encourage people to do is see how much you can find out about you online. Do a search. Don't go into you don't need to go into all the ones that you pay. I'm sure you can get a lot more on you. But I found out a lot of things that I was surprised about that was out there about me. Anybody who wants to can find out how old I am, but I'm not telling you today. He's got a last name. He's moving in. And I say he, it could be she too. And by the way, for those here and listening, NetSmarts has put together, and I'm going to show a little bit of one of the videos, but NetSmarts has put together the same kind of search showing how predation works as a free downloadable video that you could set up. And if you work, in fact, I wanted to find out, what all arenas are represented here? Do you each work as a single leader, helper, or are you involved with another age group in your church? I'll start off.
Divorce care.
Okay. Keep going. Your name is Derek.
Sir.
Thank you.
You want me to keep going?
No, next person.
I'm a single adult leader.
Please don't. That's my shorthand there. What's your name?
Oh. Andy.
Okay, thanks. I just like this. Instead of saying, hey, and next.
I'm not a Lester.
Single parent families. That's Lester, right?
Yes.
Oops, lost my E there.
I actually work with youth.
Hey, actually, that's pretty cool. That was Lydia. And then Keith. And Chris gave me an inside track to chaplain too.
Yeah.
So about that, because that's pretty awesome there. Another route. By the way, your workplace is another ministry. By the way, just bonus talk conversation. Every one of you are in another ministry, whatever that workplace is. But in these arenas. Man, you know, our divorce rate is increasing. One of the factors has been internet relationships, like I just said. Do you know?
I met a lady at a Lifeway single retreat, and she was married to a youth pastor.
Hmm.
Always been a youth pastor, and what you talked about earlier, she had shared with me that her husband got caught up in that, and.
Hmm.
And me not really knowing that much about it, never, I guess, got that much involved in the internet and what it can do, really kind of showed me. You gave me some insight on what she was actually dealing with. So
it's and it's disheartening because she's very alone in it. Because what you just said is very true. Most people don't know that world, to understand what it means, and to not be able to go over and even to point out or shake or even talk about that other person, it's just really weird. And even if the guy or gal says, well, it's over, well, they're not over it. They still don't even have closure on the beginning, much less now an end, and they don't know when the guy or gal says it's over, if that didn't mean that he just said, well, I'm just tired of this one, so I'm going over now for this one. Hey, by the way, catch this. Internet dating. A qualified comment. I think it can work, but I think you need to get to the real-time visit quickly. What's happening is the online affairs and the online mismanagement and the online predation and the sexual abuse that comes out of those tend to stay online because that's what that person wants. They can have more control over you on an online scenario, but if they had to be seen in the real world, you wouldn't take another moment with them. Plus, they can have multiple affairs. I still remember that one guy trying to go out on 3 dates in one night. But this person could actually have, you know, tons of people that he is impacting, or tons of people that she's impacting. But when we get into all this, I mean, in this issue, we've got to realize that in this scenario, the online affair it starts off with what I call easy, relaxed encounters. Keith, I mentioned the online gaming to you. I had a testimony of a gentleman at one of these talks came up to me and told me about his wife, and she had been online gaming, had a great relationship with this guy that the husband thought, well, that's her thing, and it wasn't a bad thing. It was like, well, she did that, he did this, something else. But they became so good at talking, better than they were at talking, that she started thinking this is much better than this real time. And pushed it into opportunities to meet real time and decide to divorce this relationship and marry this relationship. And left him and children stunned. I mean, the process started off innocent and even supportive. And then it just went awry. And so our new realm, and I don't know if it, I'm glad to hear you're aware of it, but our new realm of even resource information probably would be to give to divorce care an online affair healing tool. And that reminds me, I need to, we got one of their players here. Healing. Mm-hmm. I thought of it once, but I'd forgotten about online affairs. You can probably pull it up by just using this, but if you wrote the two phrases, it would definitely find her. Peggy Vaughn, V-A-U, I think it's G-H-N, it may be A-N, but I think it's G-H-N. She is one of my experts on online affairs and has done extensive research talking with couples, either the person who has gone through it or the one who caused it. And has an e-book that is worth ordering, even though it's now a couple years old, still valuable. She's, you know, and she's constantly in that effort on online affairs, and I need to, as I write this, I'll put it up here too, that she could be one that could maybe even help on some of the information that would help them. I think it's just N. But Peggy Vaughn Online Affairs, if you did a Google search, you could get to her site, but she deals with the affair issue. Overall, for our single adults, when we think about this one, we're up against a basic issue of safe dating, because it's now a new way to meet a lot of people in a safe encounter. But we still have an issue of not knowing for sure if we've got the right person on there. Let me give you go back to this predation thing, but I want to show you something here. Did anyone see Must Love Dogs and then regret it? The movie? Okay. Well, this is the one part that's worth seeing, at least to show you. I hope it works here. Must Love Dogs is about a man and woman who meet in the park through their dog, but this woman decides that she's going to check out the world of online relationships. And if technology allows it, she should come up shortly here. Here she comes. Watch what she does online to set up her... Who she meets through these. I'll give you two of them and then we'll stop.
Where I took this fabulous in-depth tour called As the Romans Do. The guide was incredible.
I took that tour. Big fat guy, right?
And before that, Switzerland, where I got caught in a snowstorm.
I was dying in the blizzard once.
I lived up in the Alps for a year.
They had to cut me out of the snow with scissors.
My aunt had a farm. In the morning, we'd warm ourselves with the coals of the fire. I learned to make goat cheese. It was very tidy.
Well, I just think it's wonderful how much you care about your children, Peter. Really, it's not always the case. I'm a teacher, I know.
Well, it's just my daughter. She's 14. But she's everything to me.
All right, that's not working. Who we we meet and how we connect sometimes may not match up, especially if you saw that ideal that she had online there. And what's happening is, unfortunately, is how we present ourselves, because so many people don't think what they look like or how they are, who they are, what they've accomplished is valuable. They try to change themselves online. And you have to be ready for that. In fact, you really need to, like I said, you need to move to real time. Some helpful scenarios on how to get to real time safe. First off, if they're hesitant, you know there's a good chance that they don't really do want to get together. They're going to keep playing the opportunity. I was told also, if you do go online and make a relationship connection, realize that more than likely, like I said, if you get that date, make sure it's a safe date. I know none of this room or on this listening audience would ever do this, but there are people that have literally opposite sex flown out to another town or city, whatever, another state, another country, and visited that person, and because of cost, stayed with that person that they had never met before, but they thought they'd like and they wanted to spend some time with. Don't. insane. Mind just went. Birds in the air and happy love took away all common sense. What I've seen and heard that has worked and has been successful is the lunch in a crowded restaurant with a friend. Nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't be bad probably a couple times accountability-wise to have that friend. One person actually took, as Christians, they decided that he wanted to meet the girl he was meeting online that lived in like South America. So he and his friend flew together, stayed a separate place, got to know her, and guess what happened in that relationship? The friend who came with him fell in love with the girl that was his friend's friend to be safe, and they married, and then the original couple also got married. So two relationships came out of that situation of these three that started off trying to be safe with the fourth person there in town being safe with them. There's also stories of a pastor who, because of his situation, struggled to try to date anyone inside the church, which makes a lot of sense. That would be really taboo. But where do you go? Since that's his big world, so he decided to use one of the online dating services, eHarmony, and in his online dating experience, he brought it to the real-time experience of meeting her. They now are missionaries together overseas, last I heard. The use of it is good, but the problem again has been the misuse by misinformation or delay to connect. The wild thing is, this is so not a young people thing only. There are senior adults that are using it at a high frequency. In fact, senior adults are actually having, one gentleman was reported to have taken so many real-time relationships and turned them into one-night stands that they actually banned him from that one site. But hey, in this world, if he's still alive, there's plenty of other places he can go. So unfortunately, all age groups are using and some are misusing these scenarios. So again, my scriptural perspective is to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. You've just got to come into it with understanding what you're getting into, fill out these information pieces, knowing what they're going to give. By the way, I did hear this report too. Sometimes people will lie about even their marital status. And they will put in that they're single when they're married, or they will feel uncomfortable about writing divorce. So, in fact, one lady told me that she put in divorce, and for some reason she wouldn't get enough hits. So she changed her information, re-entered her information, and re-entered herself as single, never married, and got all these hits. What's wrong with that? What happens in that?
It's a lie.
New relationships based on a lie. So somewhere down the road, she's going to have to get honest if she really thinks she's going to find someone she likes. But would that not be another one of those? That could be a deal breaker in a relationship if that's what, you know, that comes out. And that wasn't what that person signed up for.
If you think about whenever they post a picture of not really them, or when they were, you know, 10 years younger, when you first meet them, I'm thinking it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, how can you start from that at least?
It would take either a very big man that saw something more and went, I know that's a hard thing to do, and that's what you'd have to, and that's why I kind of say in that scenario, you'd have to really say, you know, if this person lied at the level of image, which some people would feel uncomfortable about doing that, but there's a greater heart behind everything else they said. But where I'm going is, you really do have to be extra involved with that kind of process and know that there's a good chance you may get lied to. And you'll be tempted to lie. Because if it's not happening, one of my best buddies who suddenly, because of an affair situation, now is not. I mean, it's just, he's now in that scenario. he got bumped off the system because he didn't get enough dates. He just didn't match up. He wasn't getting matches.
System encouraged you.
Well, there, have you heard, I'm trying to remember the one, what's the one now, y'all? You've definitely seen the commercial. One of them was saying, you know, you won't have any problem, you know, you won't be rejected.
There's Match.com.
Yeah, and there's another one, I can't remember too, but they're lessening the issues that could be, you know, reasons that you would not match up. So in one sense, it's good that you're getting to meet more people, but are you meeting really the people you want to meet? And the other thing that's come up, and when I did this talk at a family conference, they told me, a group of counselors that are there, and they said they're running into a situation now about divorce, that these relationships that do take off through online dating have so much depth because of what they know of each other, think they know, because all the data that they switched, that they think they know enough to marry, and so they go ahead and make that commitment. But on the other side of the rings, they're finding out, okay, I didn't know about that, and that really wasn't, or that wasn't really true, or, you know, whatever it was that they thought they knew on paper isn't coming to fruition in their real life relationship. And so they're ending up in a divorce. And so they think they're in a deep relationship because of what they had to exchange up front. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you think about it, when we do go out on dates, a lot of times we really don't know that much about the person. In fact, anyone has been set up on the quote-unquote blind date, it's completely... testimony, microphone,
sorry. No.
But the reaction is just about that. I mean, you don't know enough. You would love to have some data on them. But so again, the whole concept of the dating information, we got to be really careful on. Let's finish out this because I want you to see how this ends, unfortunately. Let me bring her up. Let me back up just 2 seconds here. Yeah, this is where with her name and her last name, what can he do? He starts putting in the system, with each additional information, I can perform more searches. He puts in her last name. He gets an address. And an address that makes sense because there's a Susan Welch down here. Now, what do you do with this? Now you got phone number, you got address. We can do Rand McNally, MapQuest, whatever. And again, think about this. That's a wonderful thing. It almost got me here last night. I was off by 2 streets because it stopped at whatever street, REM. But Rand McNally literally took me from my home to this church, and I'd never been here before. So the that's a great thing. But for this guy or gal, now he's going to get to find out exactly where she lives. And he's going to get directions every right and left turn he needs to make. Oh yeah, guess what else we have to watch out for? I'll share a little bit more than what this is going to show. Let's see. But we can start looking at the schools in the area. And because, and it's a really good thing, is anyone a single parent or married parent? No children. If you, with your child in our schools, they ask you. Do they do this at your school? They ask you. Will you allow your child's images to be shown in any kind of a directory or any kind of a booklet that we're going to have put out, produced? Will you allow your child's images to be used on a web page to promote, say, if it's a sporting event, group pictures, whatever? You have the right as a parent, at least in our schools, to say no, and we just say completely no. Now I know down the road I'm going to probably. We caught more on the issue because right now it's not as big an issue, but at this minute I don't need Micah and Faith to be up there. But with school pictures, and hey, how about faith organizations, mission trips, youth rallies, you know, nights, camps. Parents love, especially, I remember this one very vividly. The church group had, church youth group had gone on a trip. It was like a whole week. They had set up a web page specifically of images of their children every day. I mean, it was updated every day. And was there a secret code that you had to do to get to that web page? No. If you knew about our church and knew about what we were doing at that time of year, you could see all those images and you'd know exactly, you know, back, you could confirm if you knew. Because unfortunately, what they also did, they usually had 4 girls, Mary, Sally, Susie, Terry. And they wrote Mary, Sally, Susie, Terry underneath them. And so, and let's say Amanda is with them. He goes and pulls up a local church and sees Amanda's at that youth camp. Hmm. he could actually drive to that youth camp and try to get her right there, because it would be one of those kind of weird things, like he could be like a camp counselor type persona, or she could be, you know, someone who works in the kitchen. Wouldn't take that much, but he or she knows that Amanda's at camp right now. And they're really smart, by the way. I hate to say this, but they're actually usually ahead of all of us. Because it's a hunger that's, again, beyond our understanding for the sake of the boundaries that are designed in us right now. So they will use these churches and schools innocently designed to help get that information out and make it to their advantage.
But let's suppose somebody come up to a young lady. She don't know him, but he gave her all the information.
Through what system? Oh, through that.
Yeah. She said, hey, I don't know you, but you know me more than I know you.
And you know what happens? Because of the way we teach our children, all he or she has to say is, I work with your daddy. I work with your mommy. And your mommy couldn't come up here, but they heard that you were getting sad about missing home. And I told your mommy I would bring you home today. And 9 times out of 10, a child in midweek, if they came up to that camp, would probably say, yes, I am. And they would pack their stuff up. They would even tell the counselor that this lady works with my daddy and mommy with complete confidence, to the point where hopefully now our world has changed, because I know a lot of our security systems and camp systems have overcome this by now. You have to have all kinds of permissions to take a child out of a camp system. But earlier times, we didn't have that kind of system, and it could have been worked out. If they didn't, if they got a fight situation, a struggle, they could have then worked a way to get in and around it and maybe just take them without asking permission. Just say, listen, we don't want to bother the camp counselors. Let's just go right now. And the fact is, we as parents, I'd say, want this child to be trusting, because we don't want them to be fearful, but we have to somehow find a way to let them be fearful without being paralyzed. And just for your information, you know, my oldest daughter, Micah, this time she didn't get to do this, but she went on an overnight. At the same time she was getting ready to go on an overnight, both online and in real-time news, the word was out about strangling, to a game where they would try to do pass out, and they would tie a rope around their neck and either hang it off a doorknob or some object and see how long they could go before they passed out. And a little girl had done this with no one around her and had passed out, and of course then strangled herself and died while her mommy was gone. And her mommy came home and found her hanging off her doorknob. And the thing, the reason I'm bringing this up for Micah's sake is she was getting ready to go to a camp, to an overnight with some friends. And thinking about the things that you have to tell your child now, I decided I needed to tell Micah, if anyone plays this game and pulls out a rope and starts talking about, let's do this pass-out game, I want you to first run to the parent, second, I want you to call me, and I'm over there like that. And it's over. And I said, it's not a bad thing. I said, but I want you to know if it happened, one of you could probably die. And I walked away from that moment thinking, oh my gosh, I just told, and she was like 7 or 8. I said, I can't believe what I just told my daughter. But I realized if I didn't, I told Kathy, if I did not do this, this could actually happen. It wouldn't be meant for harm. And I told her again recently about that. I said, these things that could happen to you, honey, are not meant for harm. Like now the big thing is, and someone else was telling us about this, but the drug thing about the prescriptions we have at home. You know, the big thing now is to say to your kids, don't use medicine unless a parent or adult gives it to you. But all this stuff we have to start talking about. Why shouldn't we be talking about being safe online too? I mean, they're going in there now for projects. Micah has assignments for the internet, and she asked to be put on certain websites. By the way, she has that Build-A-Bear site, and she said, Daddy, I'm going to give you my password so you can be alert to what I'm doing. And so she said, you can go on and see how they talk to me and see if they're talking to me like they should or if they're talking weird. And I said, wow. I said, thank you, Micah. And see, that's the thing. But I know, this is the part I'm not looking forward to, there are going to be things that she's going to only tell herself. And I've got to be ready for that. So what I'm trying to do is give her the smarts to know how to manage that part that she can't tell me. But with God and her wisdom, she'll know how to make the right decisions. And if she doesn't, I've tried to tell her too, I'll still love you, honey. So again, we're in an amazing scenario when it comes down to the factor of how we can protect and how we need, when we come back into our churches, help out folks. Let me go ahead and do this hand up, because some of the things I want to share with you are in this packet. Did anyone do the survey? Let me get that from you too. 23. Do me a favor. Keith,
yes.
Pick them up and shuffle them, please. I learned no disrespect, but I had a very very crisis scenario, and the person was like the last one to hand a survey, and it went right on the top, and then the rest of the talk was like, not that this happened here, but it was like, oh Lord, please help me have wisdom first how to minister him, because it's supposed to be random, but he didn't note it there. Thank you. I'll do a handwriting analysis later, and then we'll see. But if you finish this earlier, let me know. I'm not going to make comments off of this directly, but I'm going to make comments about this from general. This survey captures just your involvement with the internet, but some of the tough online questions, when it gets into how we're interacting. One of the biggest struggles now that's come up is online harassment. And that's why I tend to put this survey out, because sometimes, in fact, there's usually one, this crowd's smaller, but there's usually one person that has dealt with it at least, and it actually seems to be more people are dealing with the online harassment. Can anyone define what online harassment is? If not, I'll...
A threat online.
And what level? I mean, is it affecting who? Whom?
Kids, mostly. I think it is.
Go ahead, Derek.
You're good. I'm thinking, you know, I get a lot of emails that from places and people I don't know, so I just don't open them. So I'm wondering how you could be harassed unless you open the email. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's somebody that I don't know, spam, whatever.
Do you have a social network page or MySpace or Facebook?
No, actually the only internet access I have is at work.
Okay.
So... can I have a junk mail file? Anything that comes up from a certain address goes in the junk mail. So I kind of...
You're good.
The harassment thing, I don't understand, because I would just assume everybody could do that without... and not even know they get these...
Well, what's happening is...
it doesn't initially start off as harassment, right?
Well, what it does is it depends on the relationship connection. One of them, and I'm going to show it on a video, but basically it can be not only an email to you, but kids are pretty smart now, and with their phones, they can get inappropriate images in the locker rooms or wherever it is that they're with you on sleepovers. Hey, we saw cheerleaders beating cheerleaders up nationally with video that was taken. With YouTube now, that's another form of online harassment, where they can actually put images that are inappropriate of you out there, and then they all have to do is send an email with that image. Hey, you know, look what Raj did the other day, and it was, you know, kind of a set thing. They can now remember that movie where she was moving faces onto bodies? They can move bodies onto faces. And those youth pictures I was telling you about, they can, this part wouldn't directly affect those children, but they can take images of faces of children and put them on naked women bodies or naked men bodies, and then push that out as a, you know, as a sexual teaser, and however they want to use it. But what they can do that gets more into the issue of the children, let me go ahead and pull this up for you, is they can basically kind of, okay, did anyone get in school, I'm thinking we're all in the same sort of kind of age range, I could get in trouble, but I'm going to say we're in our 30s and 40s. Is that right? 20s? 30s?
50.
This is the one. I said you were in 40s, and he says he's 58. I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, I should be.
I know. He showed me ID. But whatever it is, I know. We're not going to get the true answers. I never respect that. But the thinking is that in these encounters, the teen basically decides that they're going to trash this other person, and the way they trash them is through video. And it's not going to come up, so I'm going to move back to it. But the video would be where they would take a picture of them, put it in a system, then they would email all their friends about it, and then that person would, and they could actually, if they get a hold of their password, send it as like it was from them. And so the kids are getting overwhelmed by the fact of normally when I would get like a little card sent to me that said, you know, hey, I saw you, you know, fall down out on the baseball field. What a klutz. Well, now this is going into the national pool. Plus, it has a video because some kid had a video phone and got me as I fell down. And then they put that video with the email and send it to all my friends. Because in the school system, everyone's got their email system. And now with cell phones and text messaging and all the ways they can quickly get the word out, they can do those quick trashing with the information. In fact, I don't know if you saw it in the handout there, but one of the things I gave you, I think it's the side of this. Let's see. This side. Here it is. The yellow sheet. For those of you who haven't figured out the text messaging world, here are some sample text messaging, cryptics, and a few little quick images that you can use to show your emotions. And therefore, you know, if you see someone doing this, you could start to understand this new language, I guess you could call it. And they're amazing. These kids, they know. Does anyone know? Yeah. I'm sorry.
His is from his previous one.
Oh, okay. I saw that purple. I thought I already handed it out. One more. But the crazy part of this is, again, we've got a new language and a new form of communication that they're having. And do we know it?
No.
And here's another element of this. What's the accountability? You know, just because we're ignorant doesn't mean that we can just let it slide. And Lydia Ruth, you're working with youth. Have you begun to kind of deal with that? How's that working or not working?
I work with a children's dentist office, and
oh, wow.
Texting is like, yeah, it is there, and they are fast on it. So,
and do they make appointments with that?
Church youth and then inner city youth.
Oh my!
So there's a lot of different interests and differences in the teenagers growing up these days and adolescence.
You know something with texting?
What's that?
When I'm writing a note, I use the shortcut. To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, hey, well, you're not texting.
But you know what? You know what's become a dying form of art is handwriting. Just a simple form of cursive handwriting. We've got to make sure in fact, if you want to make a major impact on another person, write them a handwritten note. And in fact, get one that doesn't have a lot of pictures. It's just you and writing. And maybe just the word say thank you if you want to send a thank you note. But handwritten notes are huge today because so much of us are sending these quick messages that have no recording, no tracking. It's just a massive, you know, a thought compressed, like you said, Lester, into a few letters. So we're in that kind of situation that has left us, you know, rather empty, I guess. One of things I wanted to also show you, and I think the shell of this webpage will show up since even though I don't have the internet. Let's see if it does it work offline. Give me the image. Nope, it won't do it. But NetSmarts, if you put NetSmarts/education or just NetSmarts Google Education, all the sites, I mean, all the PowerPoints, both in English and Spanish, for ages, the younger and the teens, they have information. I think they call now NetSmarts, TS, I think it is, Teen Smarts. But they have basically the information set up to help you talk with the youth or to, you know, talk with single-parent families about the internet issues. They mix in the use of the video and PowerPoint. It's one of my most favorite because you don't have to have a budget to manage it. If you want to get into further elements, one of the other handouts in there, I'll just use it off this thing here. One of the other handouts is this one that says Internet Safety Media Savvy Support. How much time do we have? Internet Media Savvy Support. This gives all the different websites, but one of the other ones I noted on here is iSafe. iSafe actually has educational internet safety materials starting from kindergarten through 12th grade. 15? Can you cue me at 5?
Yep.
Has all that information geared towards each age group. And again, going back to our comment about what age, kindergarten, you should start helping your kids. Because they... Okay, this will blow your mind. I learned that when my daughter was in kindergarten, that she could actually be impacted by internet porn. Because sibling who was older could download the information because they had internet access. and then print out cute pictures for the kids. It was cute, but naked pictures of people to give to their little kindergarten brother or sister and tell them, hey, you should take this and show your friends at school. And they could bring in those images and then show their kids at school, at campus. That's how my daughter could be impacted from what I heard from one report. Another report that I heard straight from a parent's mouth was, this was in the last 2 years, she caught her son distributing pornography through CDs. Now what he had done was, he had marked on the CD that it said homework. And what she found out was that kids were literally like... like basketball cards or baseball cards, trading pornography that they had each downloaded on CDs marked for, like, that said homework. So teachers wouldn't think twice. They just thought they were very considerate, studious. Now we've got a situation where, I don't want to show it because it's inappropriate, but the iPod is another location for images and video. And by the way, if at our home, you know, we're moving further. Kind of right now, we have accountability. I've got coveted eyes, and I'll tell you about that. Soon, but we have forms of accountability in our home. But if our girls, when they go over to say that sleepover house, and they wanted to get the information, they wanted to get the images, whatever, that other home may not be protected. Well, they can download all they want onto their, and they don't have an iPod yet. They want one down on their iPod, and I would never know about it until I did an iPod check. So here's one of the other things, a bonus comment I make, is we need to move to a new form, and I think it's in this one, a new form of covenant with our children. I hope I kept it in here. If I didn't, I'll just tell you about it so you can pull it down. But Focus on the Family has set up a form of a covenant, media-wise, that the parents and the children agree to relating to all the forms of media that they're encountering. And it means that the parents have the right to check the iPod, check whatever forms of media, that computer, do scans. Now, again, a lot of parents go, how do you do that? That means that a church would have to help a parent understand how to use their computer, how to check their iPod, how to know what the history is and all that. What's that? Well, what they'll do is they can remove it, and there's filters for computers you can get, but the bigger frustration right now is there's really not a filter for an iPod, and there's really not, and a filter per se now for iPod is not as much, because you've got basically just, you're adding files, but what you're thinking about is more like a phone. There's only one company that I've been able to find out so far that has any kind of filter. It's AT&T, and they've set it up, it's a basic filter, and they've also set it up too that you could block your child use of their phone. Say, okay, you don't want them to use the phone during school, you don't want them to use it during worship service and some other category of activity when they're at the library, you don't want them to use it, but you still want to be able to connect with them. You can make it so that you could talk to them, you could talk to that youth if you want to hold them accountable, but no one else. And the filter is a very basic filter that only manages, I got this right, AT&T's network. But if they go, and if anyone has questions, just, you know, call me, write me, or ask me here. But if they go to an eatery, a deli, a cafe that has a Wi-Fi, it wouldn't block that stuff. It would only block stuff that comes through the AT&T network. So again, parents, beware, you're not totally getting things blocked and filters.
They can all control that network.
Right. We're in a situation right now, and it's one of the other pieces on this. There's a lot of data on this, but one of the other things I've come across is called Juniper Research. And they're doing research on the cell phone, and it's a billion, multi-billion dollar business of pornography entertainment. That's, say this is a wall between the rest of the world and us. On the other side of this wall is billions of worth of dollars of entertainment value that is sexually oriented, waiting to come into our country. The holdup right now is twofold. One, if you think about all the cell phones, who are they promoting their cell phones to in general?
The kids.
Family, kids. But a lot of family is a big thing. You usually see families interacting. The ultimate idea is having multiple friends. Because it's so family-driven, that's one problem. The other problem is because it's so family-driven, they're trying to get legislation that would have it so that there is a age identification process, so that if I'm what I am, I could go online because I'm old enough and pull down whatever I want. But if my daughter went online, she couldn't pull down what she wants on my cell phone because she doesn't have that identification, whatever it is, way that she gets identified. The problems are, if they've talked about a couple things. One of the wild one is, I'm trying to remember where, but it was one of the Asian markets. They came up with the eye, a pupil? Was that right? Iris? The iris. That's a fingerprint type element. So you take a picture of your iris, and then that would confirm if you were of age.
Oh my God.
But let's come up with how do you get around that? Come on, you guys are smart. How do you get around the iris shot?
Just take a picture of somebody else's eye.
Mm-hmm. Get your daddy's picture off the mantle. Take a picture with your cell phone of it. Just, you know, put that in your file, and then print that out, and then hold that up to the cell phone every time you want to do what you want to do. I'm sorry. I just broke their system. But, I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, and again, the systems are I'll close this part, and then I'll let you. Every system is able to be basically undermined as long as the fact that a human made it, so a human can undermine it. So, here's one of those end of the pieces for you. It comes back to us just simply, accountably talking and finding out what's going on. And then if you find out there's a struggle, say, okay, I'm going to ask you about that, and I'm going to keep asking about it. And if I find out that you keep doing it, then I'll start pulling back on what you get to do. And if it's an adult, and they say, I want help, but they keep going back into it, you can say, I can only help you so far, but you've got to start stopping. It gets back to, no matter how many filters and blocks and forms of keeping people from using stuff, if they want it, they can get it. I mean, there's really, it's not, and MySpace even got on some parents' case that it's not about what we offer, it's about how you are managing your children. I mean, now I will back that up of two steps and say they still should take some responsibility in MySpace and they should work to provide a safer environment. I believe they are from what I'm hearing. But in the same breath, parents can't just blame technology for the troubles they're having.
No, I want to ask.
Yeah, go ahead, Les. No stupid questions in this room.
I want to ask a stupid question.
And we got five?
No.
We're good.
Where is the moral in these people who are inventing these things, realizing the damage it is doing to our youth and our family?
Mm-hmm.
It's all because of money.
That is their, that's their God.
The pornographers and everything that they see, this is a huge untapped market. They realize that every dollar they invest, they can get millions out of it because of the reason of this. Our sin nature will hunger for that every chance we get, even though we all have what we call boundaries, and some of us are stronger in that area, but because the hunger is there, they know that all they have to do is just get us to taste it. And one of the things they're doing even better now is, okay, here's an interesting comment. Cubicles and business areas are the new market for internet porn. Like you just said, that's your only area that you're hitting it. I mean, not hitting porn, but hitting, you know, the internet. They know that if he decided to, they want to protect him to be able to have that opportunity. So what they'll set up for him is, there's a sports page, a news page, and it's got the name of the news station, and it's set up just like a web page for news, but every click is a porn site. Why would that pornography page set that themselves up like that?
So you'd access it unknowingly?
Well, no, that actually is the person who knows what they're doing. What they're doing is they're giving you a screensaver, a screen blank, that you can pull every time your boss you think might be coming in or you need to walk away from your desk and you don't want anyone to see. You just pull up that curtain that looks like an okay website, and then you're okay. The other side of the coin is what you said. They've also come up with a realization they'll buy up every time a domain name, I don't know, let's think, my mind just went totally blank. FocusOnTheFamily.net, if that exists. FocusOnTheFamily.net, for some reason the accounting department forgot to pay the bill. It suddenly becomes open. Porn sites will buy up every site that opened up immediately. They won't change it, they'll leave it just as it is, and then they'll put all their stuff on those sites. You know, they'll build their site up with that name, that domain name. So when you go back in and you hit FocusOnTheFamily.net, thinking you're going to focus on the net, you get porn. And at first you're kind of like, whoa! Then you go, whoa! And then you kind of go, ooh! And then you realize, hey, I wonder what else is out there.
Free of charge.
Yes, because and just like the normal good old addictions, they give you a lot of good freebies, but you, of course, always want more. So then they start showing you, if you click this button and pay this with it, don't even pay it. Just give us your credit card number. You won't even see the amount. You'll never even see the amount. You just say pay, and you'll get what you want. And the part that's crippling is that these guys and gals who are getting caught in it, and it's not old, it's young, they get their credit card, brand new little credit card, and they're getting in some serious debt because the addiction is so intense. They're also completely consumed by it, and they're not even really, it's that slippery slope thing. And then they hit the point where it's so bad they don't even know who to talk to. And they start pulling back, and there's a whole counseling perspective of how they start acting, but they're basically pulling out of society because they know that once they're found out, once they're outed, it's all over. Whatever their impact is, whether it's a community, whether it's a work, whether it's a home, they're over, because that is going to just trash everything that's known of them, because none of that has been known.
It's the youth, the biggest market everywhere you go.
The biggest market where?
The youth, dealing with the youth.
Oh, youth?
The biggest market.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, in fact, let's move it down to tweens.
Okay.
Tweens are being hit, and tweens are 8 to 12. That's that new market of interest. You know, it's a huge new market because there's so much hunger, and they're, I don't know if you caught that up there, but they're netizens. They're much more focused to the net, and they see themselves as not a Carolinian. They see themselves as a netizen.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because if you think about it, they've got friends around the world that, because they've learned how to connect, and it didn't start out on their own initiative. They started out on a school's initiative. Let's get together with this school over in such and such country. Let's get together with this school up in this state. And they've learned how that they can connect so easily that they're doing that on their own. So they see that huge picture. Well, this is awesome in the positive side, but in the negative side, again, we got to be helpful for them. I gave solutions to the problems in that... oh, here it is. In this sheet, I mentioned one of them, Covenant Eyes. Theirs is an excellent form of accountability, and we'll kind of close out with this one. 5 minutes, good. Covenant Eyes would be, say, Blessed and I, we would have it set up so that you cannot change your history of where you've been online. I cannot change my history. You would get a report every week or 2 weeks or monthly that would show where I'd been online, complete details. Plus, it would give a rating of what I had done compared to what, you know, they consider bad places. Good. By the way, occasionally Oprah gets bad ratings just because of the word adult or something like that. But sometimes she's early. Sometimes the conversation elements are pretty intense. Unfortunately, sometimes my Baptist convention shows a high rating just because of the word adult. We actually get a lot of stuff blocked when we email because it has the word adult in it. But Covenant Eyes will give a full report, and then Lester, you and I would then be able to say, by the way, I highly recommend girls, boys, yeah, that moment. But the accountability then allows you to say, hey, Roger, this didn't look good. I don't even have to go there, Roger, but I see this really high rating. Can you tell me about that site and why you spent 3 hours there? This doesn't look good. Now, if Lester, you'd been to a site that I could tell was really bad, had a bad rating, but it was like 2 minutes, I know what happened. It might even be in 5 minutes, because sometimes when these sites open up, you can't get out of them. They cascade you. They freak you out. In fact, that's where our younger kids are getting freaked out, because they get stuck. They actually might even lose some files because they're trying to shut down the system and it's just throwing out pictures of them. So if you're in a limited time on a bad site, I would probably say you probably had a tough night the other night when you found that, and you'd probably laugh and say, oh man, I couldn't get out of there for the life of me. But it's the long-term encounter that you and I would definitely have a conversation with either one of us and say, if this, you know, I know you had a problem with this before, let's talk. What do we need to do to make sure that doesn't happen again? And that's awesome. The other one that I know is out there is XXXChurch.com, and it's listed in here too. The only concern I have about them is they have it set up so you can actually turn off the site or turn off the accountability. So, as one friend that I was accountable with, I just figured out that when he started turning off the site at around 11 o'clock at night and it came back on in the morning, we had an issue. So that issue then was able to be discussed. If you want, and I'll give it again at the end of this talk here, and you guys have it, but just for the sake of the audio, if you want, email me, because to me, this paper is pretty decent as a paper, but if you kind of looked at it, you notice there's like underlines. Well, that means all this stuff is hyperlinked, and I have a hyperlinked version of it that I could email to you. So if you want that, then you could actually just click and go, and I believe 90% of this is all still tight, because I keep going back through this and trying to update it. There's even online counseling support. And then for the media's sake, there are so many ways now, media-wise, that we can be wiser in our choice of movies, our choice of TV, music. There's help. And I put those also on here. So the email again is RogerActon@scbaptist.org. So, wow. By the way, this is a hard one to do in this format, as you could tell.
There's so much.
There is. In fact, a friend of mine who sat in a talk, he put together 5 talks out of what I gave him. And he said, Raj, and he kind of gave me, you know, well, there's stuff still left over. And I said, and so pray, I'd love to see this format of a talk go online. I think it was you. I can't remember who I just said this to earlier today, but if you want to address problems online, you probably have to provide solutions online. And I feel like what I've done is pull together a clearinghouse of what's already out there to help folks. So just pray for that opportunity, how we can maybe get this better help to those that are hurting so much. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I just give you back what has been shared. The depth and wealth of it is amazing. I thank you for what you've given to me to help others. I thank you for what you've given me to try to be strong in every aspect of this. But I ask personally first for the help, but then second I ask for my friends here that you keep them safe online, that you give them wisdom in how they interact with each other, and give them a hope and a heart for how to share some of this with their friends. Even if it's just a one-on-one, someone that they can hold accountable like this, we just need to be wiser and safer online. In your name, amen.
Thank you very much.
I'll take that. Thanks.